Play fake. Beathard sets up deep in the pocket. Goes down the field for Smith. Ah, he got it! Smith! Touchdown, 85 yards, Iowa!
56-yarder. Does not have the leg. And Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone. He'll run it out to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45,
50, 45.
There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Don't miss a thing from the world of college football. Stay right here for College Gridiron on WFUV Sports.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into College Gridiron. Today is December 20th, Friday. The CFP, the first round, starts later today as of the time that we're recording this. It's currently 11:07 a.m. I am Tucker Austin, joined by Isabella Terracini and Thomas Tisdale. Before we get into the episode today, really quickly, guys, how are you doing, Isabella?
I'm doing good. I'm back in the central time, so it's actually 10 a.m. And, I mean, I had to get up early for this, which means I have to get up even earlier for tomorrow because football starts at 11 a.m. central, and I have to be up.
I'm doing pretty well. My sleep schedule is, like, totally messed up. I've been going to bed at like 2 a.m. for the past like 3 nights, which I'm enjoying because I don't have any like finals to worry about. So yeah. I suppose that's good. Just not doing anything is nice.
Yeah. I just wrapped up all my finals. Yeah. The closer we get to Christmas, the more like random stuff I'm probably going to have to do just to like get things set up. We're putting up the tree this weekend. It's a whole thing. But to get into the nitty gritty of today's episode, we got to react to the Heisman Trophy because the Heisman Trophy was awarded last weekend. I had the really unique opportunity to actually go to the media events along with Barrett Spreitzer and Chris Carino. It was really cool. We got a lot of really good content on all of our Twitters, and on the WFUV TikTok page, but Travis Hunter is your 2024 Heisman Trophy winner. So before we get into any of the games that happened this week, I just wanted to get your guys' reactions to Travis Hunter winning the Heisman. Like, do you think it was deserved? Do you think there was maybe a snub with Ashton Jeanty? Thomas, we'll start with you this time.
I mean, I don't think you could have gone wrong with either of the two. I think on one of the few previous episodes, I talked about how I think Travis Hunter should win just because of the impact he's had on this Colorado team on the offensive side and the defensive side. But then you can also make the argument that Jeanty has basically carried Boise State to the playoffs. And there's a lot of arguments and there's a lot of chit chat on Twitter where they're talking about how Jeanty got snubbed because Hunter has the worst PFF rating in like, out of all Heisman winners, and Jeanty would have had the highest. So, I mean, it's like, I don't know. I think Travis Hunter was pretty much always going to win just because he's more of a media favorite than Jeanty is. So, I mean, I'm not too upset about it, but I recognize that a lot of people are, and I guess they're allowed to feel that way.
I like that game.
Thank you for validating my opinion.
I would literally use the same one where like, I feel like he could make an interception and then on the next offensive play, like just like make the touchdown catch and in a two play swing, that's 14 points. He takes the possession away and then is responsible for the touchdown. And that's not really something that Ashton Jeanty can do with just the way that he plays the ball. So like playing both sides of the ball is way like more impactful than I think people give Travis Hunter credit for. But Isabella, what did you think about Travis winning the Heisman?
I was one of the people who thought it was a huge snub only because like I've been saying like it's gonna be Jeanty since the beginning and I respect Jeanty's game so much and I just thought that, you know, Travis Hunter is like he's a great player, but it's hard to do both sides of the ball to perfection. And I think he's like trying really hard and it's just like it's still like, you know, he's lacking on it. But there's also so much Twitter talk circulating around his relationship with his girlfriend. And that's kind of got a lot more people's attention because there's so much there. And it's just like his girlfriend has said so much stuff about him. And I'm like, whoa, like, this is crazy. I mean, like, she came out and she made like an 8-minute video about like him cheating when they first like got together. I was like, this is crazy. Ashton Gentile would never have done that.
Yeah, all the stuff with his girlfriend has been really ridiculous. I mean, like, kind of welcome to the internet in 2024. People are just going to do whatever they want, basically. But
yeah,
Travis Hunter is the 2024 Heisman Trophy winner. Whether you believe he should have won it or not, he is the winner. It goes on top of his Bednarik and his Biletnikoff that he also won this year. So just kind of like gathering all the awards was Travis Hunter this year. But moving on, we get into moving on, we get into a little bit of bowl season. You know, we're still in the slog of like 6-win teams getting their bowls out of the way. But starting today, it will be first round CFP bowl games. But before we get into those, because we have 4 of those, I just wanted to touch on Wednesday night earlier this week in the Art of Sport LA Bowl. Number 24 UNLV took on the Cal Golden Bears, got the win 24-13, and they did it using one of the best executed fake punt plays I think I have ever seen. Thomas, we got to talk about it a little bit before the show started, so did you just want to comment a little bit on that fake punt? Because it was really, it was like the ideal execution for that play.
Yeah. I mean, it was like literally like you couldn't have drawn it up any better, and it worked to perfection. And I, like, a lot of the times with like these fake punts, it's like, it's not, you can't really replicate it, and it's like a one-time thing, and then the next 5 times you get stuffed or whatever. But like this one feels like you can do it again and again, and the defense really can't do anything. I really don't have any much more to say on the game, because I'm just so in love with this fake punt play. But like, I mean, it's an incredible 4th down conversion, and I think ended up getting to like the 10-yard line because of this. So I mean, just sensational football.
Yeah, and Isabel, it feels really like it feels like it would have happened in an upset game, where like the team that was like unranked or something pulled off the fake punt against the ranked team. It wasn't an upset, but it definitely had that vibe. So is that the same vibe that you got from Isabella? I know you've been big on like crazy stuff happening this season.
Yeah, I think this was one of the crazier moments of the season. I think this is something that people are going to be talking about. They did get to the 50. It was a 52-yard gain on 4th down. So that's kind of electric. That's insane. And I think it just goes to show how great like these special teams can actually be, and how like these offenses and defenses can really like, you know, put their foot down and, you know, make a conversion on 4th down. And I hope that like, you know, NFL teams can look at this and be like, whoa, cry.
And yeah, maybe we could see, like, I mean, Dan Campbell's really, yeah, Dan Campbell's like pioneering, we don't have to punt on 4th down every time.
Yeah.
We can just go for it if we want. Exercising his free will. But and like just wrapping up that segment with a little bit of light bowl season, we've got big ones to deal with this weekend. We've got 4 college football playoff first round home games. It's the first time that we've ever seen these types of games. It's getting so much more hype than it was getting all season. Like the roll up to the actual event has been crazy. The ads have gotten like wilder. It's just, like the hype is so there. But the first game is tonight as of recording this, 8 p.m., number 10, Indiana in South Bend at number 7, Notre Dame. And keep in mind, these are college football playoff seedings. These aren't their like final rankings. This is their, those numbers are their seed in the playoff. 10 Indiana at 7 Notre Dame. Winner goes to the Sugar Bowl versus number 2 Georgia. Isabella, what are you seeing out of this game?
Well, I mean, the spread is currently favored Notre Dame, and I think that's pretty fair. This is the first time that Notre Dame is ever hosting a postseason game, and the weather is going to be kind of fun. It's going to be snowing. I think there's like, oh, right now there's probably like a couple inches, and it's going to continue snowing throughout the day, which should be really fun for, like, you know, kicking off postseason and playoffs. But I read somewhere that, like, Riley Leonard was having a hard time, like, balancing, like, finals and like, playoffs. So I was like, you know what? Respect to you, because you're going to go and you're going to play in the snow tonight. And I really am excited to see what you do. I think that I do want to pick Notre Dame for this game, because they won their last matchup back in 1991, 49-27. But I think that just being at home in Indiana, it's like, I don't think Indiana has really played that many, like, tough defenses and tough offenses like Notre Dame has. Like, you know, they've got, you know, some great defense and great offense. I just, like, don't see the Hoosiers going. I think this could be close. I just don't see them, you know, pushing past Notre Dame in all sides of the ball. But a couple of numbers that I want to throw out there is it's going to be really hard to stop the Irish's rushes, because when the Hoosiers lead the nation in the fewest rushing yards allowed with 70.8 yards, I just still think that, like, they haven't faced off yet, and this is a really, really strong offense. So I'm just not entirely sure. This is going to be definitely a really good game to watch, definitely a great game to kick it off, and it should be close and it should be good. And just, like, keep in mind what's going to happen rushing the ball and trying to stop that.
Yeah, can Indiana stop the legs of Jeremiah Love? Or can they stop the legs of Riley Leonard? Because we know that he is more of a rushing weapon, or has become more of a rushing weapon. Like, pretty much every week, he kind of learns how to use his rush game a little bit better than the week before. The kind of development you want to see out of a quarterback. But Thomas, what are you seeing out of this game for Indiana and Notre Dame?
It's really going to be a battle of the trenches, I think. I mean, we talked about the weather forecast, but I think regardless, I mean, it could be a sunny day. Like, even if it was a sunny day in South Bend, Indiana, like, I still think Notre Dame would rely on the run. And I think Indiana, like, is great against the run, but I just don't think they have, like, the strength necessarily in sort along their defensive line and the size to sort of stop how dominant this Notre Dame rush offense has been. And I mean, we can talk about, like, Indiana's success against the run, but we saw it against Ohio State where, I mean, they allowed 3.8 rushes per attempt, and yet they lost by, what was it, like 25 or something like that? So,
yeah, 38-15.
Yeah, so 23. And so I think Indiana is fantastic, and it's been one of the best stories to watch in college football, but I just don't think they have the experience necessary to beat this sort of physical Notre Dame team that's sort of just been on a roll since week three. I think they've played like one of the best teams since that loss to Northern Illinois. And I just don't see a way that Indiana can stop Notre Dame on defense. And then Indiana, I mean, so reliant on the passing attack that Notre Dame, fantastic defending the pass, but it's just the snowy conditions, the hostile home environment. I think just all the factors are sort of stacked up against Indiana tonight, and I just don't see a way that Indiana has enough talent to sort of overcome that.
As a Notre Dame fan myself, definitely, like, totally unbiased opinion, by the way, I'm a little bit concerned after the USC game, because USC managed to run up the score a little bit. They scored 35 points in a loss, but that was easily the most points that Notre Dame's given up in the last five games. Meanwhile, Indiana's coming off a game against Purdue where they scored their most points in the last five games and didn't give up any points. So if you look at, like, the run of form just in the last game for these two teams, it would sort of suggest that Indiana should keep it a little bit closer. But again, like, Notre Dame has been really dominant. they still won that USC game by 14 points, even though they gave up 35. So I think they know how to put teams away. They know how to win games down the stretch. Since that A&M game where it was kind of rough for three quarters and then they figured it out, and like not counting the Northern Illinois game, Notre Dame just looked really, really dominant. I liked how you described it, Thomas, but give me the Irish. I need the boys to go on a run. Give me the Irish tonight against the Hoosiers. Yeah, Isabel?
I think they might go on a run because as of right now, Carson Beck is likely out.
They're looking at Gunnar Stockton to start the bowl game for Georgia.
Your boys might be on a run here.
All right, so three games on the Saturday slate lined up back to back. We've got noon, 4 and 8, and the noon game is in Happy Valley, number 11 SMU at number 6 Penn State. The winner goes to the Fiesta Bowl to take on Ashton Gentry and number 3 Boise State. I like Penn State in this one, but that's just because SMU kind of had to sneak their way into the playoff a little bit. They needed a Miami loss to Syracuse and for them to get bounced from the ACC title game. SMU then lost the ACC title game to Clemson, but still managed to get in because it was a respectable loss, I think, to Clemson. But still, they snuck in on the back end. Like this seed could have been SMU or Miami. And if it was Miami, I think I'd give Miami a decent shot to beat Penn State. But I can't justify like putting SMU over Penn State with just the season that Penn State has had overall. And like I'll talk about like conferences, like one conference is better than the like Big Ten better than the ACC. Like I'm sure there's arguments to be had there, but you know Penn State played a very respectable Big Ten title game against Oregon, the number one team in the country. So that I think is a much just like a better loss overall than SMU's loss to Clemson. So give me Penn State, but Isabella, who do you have for Penn State versus SMU?
Give me SMU.
Hey now,
and they attained. No, I know. This is something that I said last week too. I'm always, you know me, I'm always gonna root for the upset, but I think that this team can actually sneak in and do some dirty plays, get Drew Aller, you know, a little bit messed up. You know, they're Smith and Kevin Jennings, they make a really good duo. And I mean, I'm not gonna discredit Drew Aller and Singleton, but I think that they're doing okay, but I really like odds here. The spread is currently 8.5 for Penn State. I think that SMU can easily cover that. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But give me SMU here. Their last matchup was in 78. Penn State won, you know, obviously. 26-21. But in this season, SMU has allowed their lowest yardage ever per game, 93.4. This is ranked fourth nationally, and they're giving up only 2.74 yards per carry. So, I mean, no player has also gotten over 100 rushing yards against SMU except Isaac Brown from Louisville on October 5th. So I think that, you know, looking at the rush yards here, looking at, like, the rush attempts here, it could be another in the trenches rushing defense, rushing offense. But still, no, I'm going to stick with the Dallas Mustangs.
Thomas?
The narrative of James Franklin's sort of tenure at Penn State has been that they can dominate when they're favorites, and then they just fall apart when they're underdogs and playing good opponents. And I think that's just going to continue here, where I think Penn State just ultimately just has the edge over SMU. I think it's really a tale of two different offenses. SMU is incredibly aggressive, you know, in the two like sort of best defenses they played in Duke and Clemson. They committed 8 turnovers, but they also put up 31 points against Clemson. So SMU is going to try to be aggressive. They're going to try to take the edge out of the Penn State stadium, and But I think Penn State is just too talented. They just have too many great players just on both sides of the ball that I think SMU just does not, also just does not have enough experience to sort of counteract that. And I think SMU is going to have to play a nearly flawless game. And I think Penn State has sort of the luxury of making a few mistakes, maybe an interception from Drew Aller. And I think they'll still be able to sort of weather that early SMU storm for, and then Penn State is just going to pull out the win. I think Penn State is just going to be, try to be efficient on the offensive end. They're just going to try to run the ball. They're trying to going to wear down this SMU defense. And I think they just have enough size, physicality, strength, speed to do that. And I, so give me Penn State to win and cover the 8.5 point spread.
And I don't think there will be any snow, but I know that the temperatures in Happy Valley are going to be, you know, in the floor. I believe below freezing, it's going to be something in the 20s. So very much so bundle up weather. It's going to be a lot of warm bodies in Beaver Stadium tomorrow at noon, SMU at Penn State. But at 4 p.m., we have number 12 Clemson at number 5 Texas, and the winner goes to the Peach Bowl versus number 4 Arizona State. Now, this might be the easiest path to the semifinal, just by, obviously, it's the lowest seed of the teams that got byes, but I also think that Arizona State is, you know, kind of a weaker team when you look at the four teams that did get byes. Even Boise State, I think I would give them an edge over Arizona State. But regardless, number 12 Clemson at Texas. The Longhorns get to host a postseason game after losing the SEC championship, which I honestly, like, the playing Georgia a second time, I had to feel like Texas thought they maybe had them solved, or was going to go into that SEC title game and kind of reverse their fortune against Georgia, but that did not happen. Texas gets punched in the mouth. Welcome to the SEC. But I think that Texas, if they can take care of the football, is the most important thing. Can Quinn Ewers keep the ball out of Clemson's hands? Because as long as Texas takes care of the football and, like, scores when they're supposed to, they shouldn't have a problem. But Clemson's defense is the only thing about this game that I would kind of point to and say, you know, this is where the game could go wrong for the Longhorns. But Thomas, what do you think for Texas versus Clemson?
I think it's a tale of two offenses that have, or two good defenses, but I think Texas's defense is just better. And Clemson has struggled against elite defenses. I mean, we saw it in the Georgia game, in the first game of the season, where, you know, just an absolute dud against that Georgia team. And granted, that was the first week of the season, and this Clemson team has changed. I think that's just going to be the same sort of story we're going to see tomorrow at 4 p.m. is that this Texas defense is sensational, and I just don't think Clemson has enough to sort of overcome that. And I think this Texas offense has been struggling. Granted, like, they only put up 19 against UGA, and they only put up 17 against Texas A&M. And so the key for this Texas offense is going to be running the ball. And I think if they can get the ground game going and Quinn Ewers can avoid mistakes and avoid being sacked and avoid these large negative plays, then I think this Texas offense is capable enough of just sort of doing enough to get a convincing win against the Clemson team. Texas is going to rely on their defense. And I just think this offense just needs to be efficient enough, just needs to be good enough that they don't end up costing them. And I think we saw that in the Georgia game, where this Texas offense just didn't do enough. And I think that just absolutely cannot be the case against this Clemson team. I think this Clemson team just doesn't have enough talent. And I think they sort of snuck their way into the playoffs. I mean, 3 weeks ago, they weren't even sure they were going to be playing in the ACC championship game. So I think I just think Texas has enough talent, and their just defense is just so good that I just don't see a way that this Texas team loses, especially at home.
Isabel?
Well, I do want to give hats off to Texas, being their second year in the playoffs. Last year, it was only four teams. This year, it's 12. So they do have some sort of, you know, edge coming off of this, and also wanting to shed some light on the Klubnik Ewers kind of, you know, high school rivals coming into here. I think Ewers is the better quarterback, but not by much. And I think in the red zone, they do need to put in Arch Manning. But that's just like, you know, my thoughts.
Well, like a Justin Fields package, but for Arch. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think because I honestly think that Arch Manning's completion rate in the red zone is a lot better than Quinn Ewers. I mean, I'm not so sold on Phil Maffa. And he's like kind of falling off after the injury, but he's kind of been falling off since the beginning. He's like, he's okay. He's not great. But I mean, like, if we have Jaden Blue, if Texas has Jaden Blue back, then, you know, it's obviously going to be, you know, pretty, it's going to be a pretty good game. Also, Kelvin Banks will be back on the Texas side of the ball, which is huge. I think that was one of the big problems in the Georgia game, where they didn't have their left tackle, and it was, you know, a problem in the pocket, but he's back. He's got to be back on his feet. Andrew Mukuba, he transferred from Clemson last season, and he's doing a lot better with the Horns. It should be really fun seeing him back playing against his old friends, I guess. I'm going to go with Texas here.
Yeah, and Thomas, I like that you mentioned Texas's last two games, like, scoring wise, like, it's just not been the same Texas that we've seen. And in both Georgia games, the SEC title game and the regular season matchup, we kind of saw in like the first or second quarter, just like Texas kind of looking baffled, or like they had no idea where to go with their offense because nothing seemed to be working. I can remember that photo of Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning sitting on the bench next to each other, both just kind of blank staring onto the field, having like just no idea what to do. So I think we'll see early in this game if Clemson's defense can kind of, you know, cause some issues in the backfield, or, you know, if Clemson can get an early interception, we could see this game go haywire really fast, because I think the momentum will just kind of it'll swing quickly if that Texas sideline starts to feel like, oh no, this is just Georgia again. But we'll see if they can, you know, if they can calm their nerve and punch a ticket to the Peach Bowl. But the final game on Saturday, our final first round home playoff game, is going to be probably the best game, I would say, of the weekend. I mean, it follows from them being the two closest seeds in the playoff. It's number 9 Tennessee, the Volunteers, at number 8 Ohio State. The winner goes to the Rose Bowl versus number 1 Oregon. I'm sure that will be a really fun game for whoever has to play them. But, you know, Ohio State welcomes a team into the Shoe after the incident, the flag planting incident versus Michigan. And word is there's a 300 plus pound D lineman at Tennessee who likes to plant flags after they win. So it should be interesting if the Volunteers can get a win at the Shoe against Ohio State. I think it's going to be close. And I think with whatever is going on in that locker room, unless Ryan Day like managed to reel in the team in some grand way after that Michigan game, that locker room is in turmoil. The whole program is in shambles because Ryan Day is probably on his way out after that Michigan loss, but they have to play a playoff game at home against Tennessee. And I think Tennessee is just entirely in position to march into Columbus, get a W, like business as usual, and walk out. Because I think there's so many problems just behind the scenes with this Ohio State team that it's not going to be – they're not going to be able to overcome all of that. So give me the Vols. But, Thomas, who do you have for Tennessee at Ohio State?
I'm from Tennessee, so I'm going to be a little bit biased and pick Tennessee here. But – objectively speaking, I think Tennessee's going to win, like, regardless. I think you talked about sort of the behind the scenes stuff, and there's rumors in the media that Ryan Day needs to win a national championship to keep his job, which I think is a little absurd, but that's neither here nor there. But it's just this Tennessee team, I think, is fantastic on the run, and I think they've had to rely on Dylan Sampson so much just because of how sort of questionable Nico has played at times. He hasn't been as aggressive. He hasn't been as accurate with the downfield throws as sort of Tennessee fans were sort of hoping for. And I think there's a potential scenario where that Tennessee falls behind early and they have to rely on Nico to sort of get them back into the game, and Tennessee can't do that. But I think Ohio State, I think they're sort of reeling from the Michigan loss. And I just don't think there's enough mojo in that locker room. And I just don't think they have enough on offense. And I just don't think the talent gap between Tennessee and Ohio State is big enough that these sort of murmurs and sort of this lack of team chemistry in Ohio State is going to be a huge deal. And there's also rumors that Tennessee fans have bought thousands of tickets to sort of invade the Ohio State stadium. So it's not going to be as much of a home field advantage as the college football committee was sort of hoping for. So that's going to be interesting to watch, but I just don't think this Ohio State team can do enough on offense. They struggled massively against the Michigan team, only putting up 10 points, and they just didn't throw the ball to Jeremiah Smith, which baffled me. Ohio State is overwhelmed Tennessee, as they've sort of been able to do with, I think, Indiana, notably Indiana, and sort of the rest of their schedule. So I think it's going to be an interesting game. I hope it's really close and competitive, but I just think Tennessee just has the edge.
All right, Isabella, who you got? Bucks or Vols?
I have to agree with both of y'all. It's going to be the Vols. This Ryan Day, he's out. He's done for. His job is gone. I'm sorry. He hasn't done enough. He hasn't rallied this team. I think this locker room is already in shambles. They're facing one of the best defenses in the country with a really damaged O-line. Like, I mean, it's injury after injury on that O-line. They have to keep the pocket open, and I just don't think that it's going to happen with this, you know, really stellar defense from Tennessee. But also, Tennessee hasn't won anything of importance since Peyton Manning. So this is their chance to really, you know, step foot, put their best foot forward, really, you know, rally the troops. And I think, you know, with there's 3,500 tickets that the Vols bought. And so they're going to invade the Shoe. And it's not really going to be a home field advantage. I mean, I don't know about, I'm not really sure about the weather yet, but maybe we should check on that.
I'm sure it'll be as cold as the rest of the area.
28 degrees, but you know what? Vols can, they can handle that. You know, they'll be fine.
It's cold up in the Smokies.
It is cold. It's chilly, but I think that won't brave anybody. I'm going to go Tennessee here.
Yeah, and the atmosphere should be interesting. You know, Ohio State for a night game. You know, they've got some light shows. They do some fun stuff. They haven't played a night game in weeks because of big noon kickoff, moving all their big ones to noon instead of 8 o'clock. But, you know, Ohio State finally gets a good night game. But that'll do it for us this week. Just a little majorly CFP preview, since the first round does start today. The rest of the bowl games, like the bowl quarterfinal games, will be New Year's Six bowl games. So they'll be on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Obviously, we mentioned all of the bowls that await the winners of these first round CFP games. But that'll do it for us today. On College Gridiron, I have been Tucker Austin, joined by Isabella Terracini and Thomas Tisdale. It was a great show with you guys today, and we will see you next time. College Gridiron is a production of WFUV Sports.